People just love space and they're lost. Space Force hat. Look at the new logo. Flip it over. It looks just like Baphomet. Even with the little star right here. Mm-hmm. Got the horns, got the whole thing. This is the Space Force emblem.
Hey guys, Sean from SGT Report here. Thanks so much for tuning in. That was my longtime friend, David Weiss. He and Jaron from the Jaronism YouTube channel joined me to make fun of the official math. Yes, it's their math, friends, and we make fun of it in this interview. Thanks so much for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Hey friends, thanks for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. You can get exclusive content every single day for free at sgtreport.com, sgtreport.tv, and of course, the podcast via iTunes, Podbean, and your favorite podcast platforms. Guys, Noble Gold's CEO Colin Plume thinks quantitative tightening is setting up the stage for a gold rally. In his interview with the National Desk, Plume said that tightening is pushing the dollar up. However, he predicts that by next year, the Fed will print money again to restart economic activity. If you're thinking of gold and silver right now, Noble Gold is giving a free gold American Eagle coin with every eligible IRA or 401k. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're the natural choice. You can't go wrong with gold, and you can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call them right now at 877-646-5347. Or to find out more, just visit noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from sgtreport.com and sgtreport.tv and the Phaser, where you can stun them with truth. Why do we say that? Well, because you can't find truth on YouTube anymore. You need external resources. And today I'm very excited to have back on the line longtime friends of mine now, Jaron from Jaronism on YouTube. How are you, sir?
Great. Yourself? Thanks for having me again.
Doing well. Thanks for coming on. And my friend David Weiss. How are you, David?
I'm doing great, John. Thanks for having us again.
Thanks for coming on. Guys, the reason for the call is this. Listen to my sports talk radio guy. Have to discuss this with Dave and Jaron.
Rocket on November 23, 2021, and has since been traveling the 7 million miles to the asteroid in question. 7 million miles. And you're one of those cynics who says we can't get anything done anymore. That's impressive. That's planning your work and working your plan, and that ain't taking no damn knee, and that ain't kicking some stupid 54-yard field goal at the end of a game.
All right, I'll pause it there. I'm coming back to my guests. Guys, that's the sports talk radio guy in my neck of the woods, and he just loves officialdom. He says the same thing about the vaccine. Planning the work, working the plan. He loves the vaccine. He loves the magic gooey juice from the government. And he believes NASA. He loves NASA. What else can we say?
Let me tell you something, Sean. This is a word I came up with to describe these people, because that was the DART mission. You know, this asteroid deflection. What is it? Double asteroid. What does the R stand for? Redirection test. And so I started the word darted. So that guy is darted. And you can put mentally in front of that if you want. He's mentally darted. And a majority of people are. 90% of this world is falls for every trick in the book. And it's getting ridiculous. These people, they think, look at all the things we can't get done on the Earth. And yet they think we're out in space, bouncing crafts off asteroids. And then if you've seen the videos from the two other telescopes supposedly pointed right at it at that time, it's hilarious. It's like cartoons.
It is cartoons. This is what they actually showed us. This is a craft going 14,400 miles per hour towards this thing. And everyone is just bated breath, and then the high fives come. Look at this thing. This is what they show us. And the fact that they lose transmission proves that it crashed into this rock at 14,400 miles per hour. And Jaron, was this the one that they hit, or was it the first time they did this mission in the past and nobody cared, right, that they deflected it off its path, ready for this, by 4 inches, okay? So they have, we're twirling and whirling and corkscrewing through space, and they have telescopes and math that can tell you that something changes trajectory by 4 inches.
Yeah, it adjusted its orbit by 4, which is, I mean, they have to be laughing at us. They really do. There's no way somebody can say that with a straight face, But and neither can they say, so this thing is flying at that speed that Dave just said at this thing, and it's sending back data. So imagine, like, if I took a picture of my phone and tried to send it in a text message and then threw my phone against the wall. Like, it's going to be sending pictures as on its way to the wall and it bounces off it. It's just funny to me that it's going, again, my phone's not going off the wall at nearly the speed this thing's going. And Dave, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you have to remember that I forget how far away was this, because when they sent the Red Bull space jump, you know, where Felix jumped from 127,000 feet, they lost communication with him, audio communication. They could barely talk to him at 127,000 feet. And this is thousands, millions of miles away. Just ridiculousness.
Well, I think that's because we have the best and the brightest working on this, David. I'm going to show you the best and the brightest here in a second, because they're very, very impressive. Now, I don't know if you guys ever saw the show Mad Men, but serious men in suits smoking cigarettes in dark rooms. That's who I want operating my space program. I want serious men in suits who know what they're doing.
You don't want guys that haven't had a date in 10 years?
I want real math crunchers. I need some mathematicians instead.
You see these guys?
Here's their best and the brightest. You tell me this isn't theater 101. I mean, give me a break. About over-exuberance. This is the reaction to hitting the space rock.
In the name of planetary defense.
Oh, high fives all around.
In the name of planetary defense.
What?
Your tax dollars at work, guys.
What a moment. Very few words can really capture this moment.
But these are like children.
Yeah.
These are children in a storage room with cameras rolling who believe, maybe they believe that they did something that they did not do, but these are not serious men in suits doing math. I'm sorry.
It's like the hall monitors. Remember in school, we used to make fun of the hall monitors. Now they're the people crashing crafts into asteroids.
They make it so absurd, and they actually have no new tricks. This is the same thing they did when Apollo landed. And every space mission, they have the same people, the baited moment, the high fives. They show an animation of what's happening, usually. This is supposedly live. And we're, you know, Jared and I are like, well, what happens if it crashes? Do they have an animation of it crashing so they can react to that?
Exactly.
Sean, here's the problem. This is a lie so big that most people can't fathom it because it tears their entire reality apart. When you understand that this is fake, then you unwind it, not just back to the moon landings, but everything in between. For, you know, this is the Artemis ship, okay? This is the ship that's going to, that's supposedly going, you know, if they keep delaying it, it's supposed to go to, the moon, back to the moon with people. Look at the side of this. Now think about this. It's got PVC pipe here. You got connectors. You got all sorts of screws and non-aerodynamic stuff. So think about a regular commercial jetliner. Look, think about the wings and the front. There's nothing square. Everything is aerodynamic, right? And if we look at the SR-71, the most aerodynamic aircraft that we know publicly, look at the thing. It's a razor blade. It doesn't have any logos or paint on it because it gets too hot because of the air friction. Well, the Artemis ship with all that PVC piping on it goes 10 times faster or 20 times faster. It's absolute insanity that anybody could believe that. Jaron?
Yep, and sending 66-year-old women who stay in space for 666 days. So that's the current record holder for the NASA women. Yeah, it's pretty sad what's going on. And I don't know if you saw, Sean, we did a debate with a physicist. What was it, last week, Dave?
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, maybe 2 weeks ago. And that's when you realize that they really have nothing, because these guys, they come on and they just can only repeat what they were taught. And if we try and challenge them on something, we tried to challenge them on because their excuse, when we talk about a vacuum sitting next to the atmosphere of Earth and say, how is that possible? We know that gas should fill the space. Their excuse is always, well, gravity's holding the atmosphere down, right? So it's holding all this air to the Earth. So we came up with this little, I guess you can call it a mind experiment or a thought experiment, where if you were in a big vacuum chamber, and remember the vacuum chamber's on Earth, and at the bottom, let's say we suck out all the air, but at the bottom of the vacuum chamber, we have a shoebox. A metal shoebox, and it still has air in it, and it's, you know, sealed. And so we vacuum out the vacuum. It's completely a vacuum. We just have this box of air. So now if we electronically open that box of air, what's going to happen to the air that's in that box? Is it going to stay in the box, or is it going to do what gas does, and that's fill the space? Of course, anybody with any mind is going to say, oh, of course, it'll fill the space. So right away, this is the downfall of the heliocentric model. How could it then, with that little tiny air sitting right next to the Earth with the most amount of pull, if it can't hold the air in a box, then how is it holding the entire atmosphere of the Earth and the water and humans? I mean, I'm told that I'm pulled down to the Earth because of gravity. If it wasn't for gravity, I would float away. Yet the air in a box would leave the... So we bring this up to them, and you should just see them. They can't even... they don't even know what to do with themselves.
Well,
we got to, it's because of the molecules, and it's just, it's pretty funny.
Well, let me interject a little science. So
please.
Gravity is selective, just as the COVID boogeyman virus was selective. Because remember, Jaron, when we went into restaurants, we could remove the mask once we sat down to eat our food.
Correct.
Same with on airplanes. So I think gravity must be selective. It's a selective force. It has intelligence like the COVID boogeyman virus.
Like, I better hold all this air, and I better move planes around and let things, you know, I got to carry the whole atmosphere of Earth with me as we travel in this crazy spin. And, but when we're talking about a box of air, it's like, nah, I don't really need that. So it just lets it go. Makes sense.
Dave, if you want to jump in, feel free. Otherwise, we can go back to Science Karen to get the nitty gritty on how they shot down that asteroid.
The problem is that people have, like, when Tesla shot his car into space, you know, his what was it? Whatever the name of the car was.
Roadster.
The Roadster in space. He, nobody looked at it. Everyone is like, that's the coolest thing ever. I'm like, did you watch the footage? Did you look at the footage? Did you watch any of it? Did you see that at 70 miles up, we could see the entire Earth, but from 240 miles up, according to NASA, we can't see the entire Earth. Okay. It's the problem is people just believe, they watch a little clip it on the news, and they don't give it any further thought. I mean, there's so many screw ups that NASA's done where every single one can unwind it all the way back to the moon landings never happened.
Well, you know, when I cite the Suez Canal, I say, look, it's 120 miles long. There should be 2 miles of curve. I can show you a satellite image of another 50 miles on either side. So now we're talking about 200 some miles long. The thing that I'm always puzzled by with their heliocentric model and their math, it's not your math, it's not Jaron's math, it's their math that they're tied to with this sphere. What I'm always challenged by is that if you're walking that Suez Canal and you're going down that 2 miles of curve, that continues in perpetuity. You're always going downhill on the ball model. That's what I try to convey to people. Show me where the curve is, because you can't hide it. Look at that 170 mile image. Look at that globe. Look at that basketball. The model that they say we live on that model, you're constantly walking downhill. There's no two ways about it. There's no way around it. And nobody will talk about that.
Now, they just always go back and say that, oh no, we're, everything's pointing to the center, so there is no downhill. It just gets pathetic, because these people are just reaching, and it's reaching. When you talk about the speeds, they've just convinced themselves that you would be right now. We're flying 1.2 million miles per hour, and I get it. In the past, I used to believe that just because I thought, well, who am I to say that we're not? And then when you start to realize all these lies, and that these guys, even themselves, are just reading it out of books. They don't even know. I mean, there's no astrophysicist that's going to space and doing any kind of experiment touching this stuff. They're just repeating what they've been told. So once you start seeing that, and then you start calling them out for it, you realize there is no answer other than you're stupid. And this is why it's not taught in school, right? That it's kind of glossed over and that it's called the dumbest thing in the world. We should definitely know, based on our government and based on everything that we've seen the last couple of years, especially whatever they say, the opposite is usually the truth. In this case, they've told us that the flat Earth is the dumbest belief that there is. And at this point, I'm thinking that it's the complete opposite. Have you seen, Sean, the Chinese space station footage yet? Oh, I'll bring it up for you. I'll get it ready for you.
All right. Well, why is doing that? Just NASA practices in the neutral buoyancy lab, and where they have a full, you know, mock-up of the space station, and astronauts are scuba diving. But we caught them. One of their screens right here is a green screen showing that they're using this technology. And I mean, that's it. What else do you need to know besides the fact that in half of the spacewalks, we catch bubbles coming out of their suits and out of creases and going in all different directions.
Well, so, well, Jaren tries to find, oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. That's it.
Well, Jaren tries to find the China footage. I'll show you guys this. Again, the narratives of these people falling apart, really, with every generation that's able to think. Fleka's talks here. I post this over at thephaser.com. And here's Fleka and his buddy talking about NASA's Neptune image.
Oh, right. Moving on. NASA just released new images, not photos, images of Neptune's rings and moons. Wow. Look at that.
Not photos, images?
They're images, not photos. There's a difference. They're images.
Do you know the difference?
Photo would be you took a photo of it. Images, you had some intern do some cool Photoshop.
Okay.
So, wow. Very cool. What a cool image, NASA. Wow, that's Neptune's rings. Wow. What a cool Photoshop.
Sounds made up to me.
Sounds made up. Yeah. Me too. Are you denying space?
A little bit.
A little bit.
If you're one of these guys that's actually advocating for space, it's got to be so hard. It's got to be just embarrassing. They've done nothing for years and years and years, and these guys got to go around and basically back them up and say, oh no, that they don't owe you guys anything. They're doing important science over there.
And NASA has some, you know, strange attachment to Disney. This is, I believe, one of the moons of Neptune. They show this, you know, and they always show it like you can deny it if you want. And then when you look at the most recent picture of Pluto, okay, how did they get a high-res image of a distant planet that has barely any light on it with a spaceship going 60,000 miles an hour past it with a 4-megapixel camera? And it happened to have a desert or whatever this is that looks a lot like the dog Pluto.
And it's, why can't they take pictures like that of the Earth? They just,
yeah,
they struggle with that part. But the other planets, they can go there, they can travel there and do all these things, dive through the moons, and they just struggle getting pictures of the Earth spinning from space.
And just another quick thing on the green screen, this guy, you know, is moving his arms around and there's some glitches, you know, and now green screens will do that sometimes, but watch right underneath his arm. As he moves his arm, he reveals the green screen. Boom. There's no excuse for that. And the globe, you know, the, what we call the anti-flat earthers, they'll come out and they'll go, artifacts. They just throw a word out there that explains every anomaly you see on the space station. It's due to artifacts.
Speaking of artifacts, how about artifacts on Mars? Mike Adams took NASA on for the science behind this. How do you fly a helicopter where there's no atmosphere?
Yeah, you can't. And look at that picture right there on the right. So imagine the camera snapped a picture when the blades...
of its shadow. That's a picture of the shadow.
Yeah, they say that the blades spin faster than any helicopter on Earth. And yet we're able to take a picture and catch the shadows. Like, go ahead and try that. Go ahead and take a picture of a helicopter's blades going and see if you take a picture of the shadow perfectly on the ground.
And there's major other problems. You know, this helicopter is powered by a solar panel. Well, it's on a dusty surface with a distant sun. I don't know any solar panel that's going to work under those conditions. And then the temperature differences are hundreds of degrees. I don't know any battery that can handle that. And then they say that the atmosphere is only 1% of our atmosphere here. We can't send a helicopter all the way to the top of Everest because the air is probably 100 times, not 100 times, like 20 times thicker than allegedly on Mars. But we can fly one there. And the best answer I've gotten is, well, the blades go really, really fast.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Really, really fast.
And they show the thing coming into Mars. It's coming down and then it just shows like kick up a parachute and it just lands. The thing is going 25,000 miles and there is no atmosphere. So there's nothing to slow it down and there's nothing.
25,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, sorry. And there's nothing to fill up the, when we send a balloon up and it comes down on a parachute, the parachute doesn't open until it's like at 50,000 feet. Above that, there's not enough air for the parachute to even know that it's, it needs to open. There's no air to push it open. So I don't even know how you could ever believe that they're landing something on Mars. How would you ever stop the craft?
I mean, there's so many things. Here is the bottom of Artemis when they were the last failed launch. Now, if you look, this is these engines have to put out enough thrust to push up a 4 million pound spacecraft. And these are taking all of the load right here. Okay. But look at this one. It's bulging out kind of like it's overinflated. That's just my opinion. This is Dave. I know you don't want to go there, but when you understand, John. When you understand, you know what's going on. It's unbelievable. Look at this. This is a fueling of one of their rockets. I'll just jump forward a little bit, and it explodes. It pops.
In NASA's defense, though, Dave, one thing I must say regarding the shoot down of that asteroid 7 million miles away, in that celebratory footage there at Command and Control Central, Bill Nye was there. So I believe it. If Bill Nye was there, I mean, he's the science guy, Dave. I mean, why you got to piss all over NASA all the time, man? They're doing great things. They're going to send men back to the moon. They're shooting down asteroids. They got a rover on Mars that has battery technology that would make Elon Musk blush. I mean, NASA's, they're doing it, man.
Darren made a movie called NASA Going Nowhere since 1959, right? 1958. And it shows how NASA just keeps kicking the can down the road again and again and again and again. And, you know, I'm predicting that, you know, with this next launch, when they finally put people on it, that they might try to pull another Challenger, you know, episode to kick it down the road further. What I'm showing here, this is a 40,000 pound tank, steel, falling back to Earth. Okay. First, if you were in a helicopter trying to film that, it would be dropping so fast you couldn't see it. But they're not on a helicopter. They're supposedly on the shuttle on their way up at over 17,000 miles per hour. So they're going up. This is falling down. And somehow they can keep it in frame like it's floating.
Science, Dave.
Science. Oh, gravity. I'm sorry. Well,
they got those fancy cameras. I mean, you got to remember, they lent cameras to Stanley Kubrick. And that's a guy who knows a little something about making movies. So NASA's got all the best cameras, Dave. You know that.
I have a video where basically there's a camouflaged aircraft that comes and retrieves this thing. And it's pretty amazing. We're trying to figure out what it is, but it's for lack of a better word, cloaked, you know. There it is. It showed it right there for a split second. But I have a whole video showing the whole thing. It's pretty damning. But here's the thing, Sean. You can show your thing in one second. Yep. With all of this nonsense in the world that's going on, you know, you had that couple on that was, you know, you did a two-part series a week or so ago with the couple talking about this craziness that's going on with the vaccine and what
Open
it's actually
Taban,
doing.
Yeah.
They were fantastic. That should wake people up that hiding the flat Earth is not nearly as crazy as what that is, okay? But this is how they get away with it. They have our minds lost in space. They have us cheering for space and nonsense. But people just love space and they're lost, right? Last thing, then Jaron, you can go.
Yeah.
Space Force hat. Look at the new logo. Flip it over. It looks just like Baphomet, even with the little star right here. Mm-hmm. Got the horns. Got the whole thing. This is the Space Force emblem.
And they're doing a lot of good work, aren't they? I don't think they've done a thing. I don't think they've done a thing. All right, so I'm going to share this real quick. This is... can you see this or no? I don't even know.
Yeah, what happened. Okay. Yeah, I can see it.
So you know, watch this, because this is sad that people can't see this happening. So this is just from the Chinese spacecraft, supposedly some live footage. And as you go through here, you're going to notice that kind of flattens out, which is strange. But oops, I don't want that on. I'm going to let that go. He's kind of talking about it. Let's go a little further. So you'll see what's happening here. What is going on here? Look at what's happening to the Earth. It is being, it's got some sort of a, it's like a peanut shape now, a pear shape, if you will. And the excuse that people say is, oh, it's a panorama camera. And that's what they do. They distort and warp the Earth. But here's the problem, is that the craft is not distorting. So if this camera that we're looking through is causing this kind of a panorama issue, well, then the craft would itself also be distorted. The fact that it's not tells you one of two things. Either it has to be two separate cameras, which why would you do that? If you're in space and you're like, we're going to film the Earth, you only need one camera. You don't need two. And if it is two cameras, then they are using layering, which again, would make no sense. Why would you ever do that? If you're in space, you could literally just put a camera on the craft and turn it on. You don't need to do panoramas. You don't need to, basically, I mean, look at this. What is going on here? What's your guess, Sean?
I think it's showing us exactly the Earth that Neil deGrasse Tyson has described.
Yes.
a pear-like spheroid.
It's a little fat there.
A little fat in the middle.
Yeah. John,
and inside, they're worse than NASA. They're doing all their little tricks. But right here is a glass of water. There's a glass of water sitting on the counter, right?
And now their new thing is that's what water would do.
That's what water would do. Yes. They say the sides of the glass put pressure on the water and then it just sticks there.
Gentlemen, we've already established this. It's gravity. Gravity is selective. And in this case, gravity really loves that water.
Right. Pockets of gravity. It's amazing. Sometimes they drop things and then they say, oh, that was a pocket of gravity. I mean,
they do say that, like the screws and stuff that they drop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pocket of gravity.
Pocket of gravity.
Hmm. Science.
Yeah. It's I have tons of videos on my channel, DITRH. One of them is called I Have to Go to the Bathroom, and it's a tour through the bathroom. Anybody with a half of a mind, one brain cell, not even two, one brain cell will look and go, that is impossible. Impossible. Right? You couldn't use a toilet like that on Earth with a gravity assisting you, let alone selective gravity.
And let alone you being all floaty all day, you would have all that stuff just going in your stomach. I mean, that can't even be realistic. I mean, I'm sure your body needs that weight to be held down. I don't think you could just float around and have all your internal organs going all over the place.
Friends, thanks so much for tuning in to SGT Report. This is a good time for a quick word about our sponsor. Guys, Noble Gold's CEO Colin Plume thinks quantitative tightening is setting up the stage for a gold rally. In his interview with the National Desk, Plume said that tightening is pushing the dollar up. However, he predicts that by next year, the Fed will print money again to restart economic activity. If you're thinking of gold and silver right now, Noble Gold is giving a free gold American Eagle coin with every eligible IRA or 401k. Don't you think you need to be smarter with your money? You need it to grow, not shrink. Noble Gold specializes in storing the value of your wealth through gold IRAs, so they're the natural choice. You can't go wrong with gold, and you can't go wrong with Noble Gold. Call them right now at 877-646-5347. Or to find out more, just visit noblegoldinvestments.com. Well, I love how life sort of emulates the discussions we've had because, Dave, it was you who showed us what you said above your right shoulder one time was galaxies. And then the camera pulled back to reveal it was a granite countertop. And then after that conversation, a few months later, NASA got caught faking a distant star, they said, that was a piece of chorizo, a piece of pepperoni, literally. That was their that's their big joke on humanity. Look at this new amazing star shot by the James Webb telescope. Turns out it's a piece of chorizo.
The star, oops, I actually, where'd it go? There it is.
The way they say these things operate in those kind of temperatures too is just insane to me. I mean, you can't get a camera to work at 100 degrees, I mean, at 0 degrees on Earth, but they're just at negative 250 degrees, just working fine.
That's the amazing chorizo star.
Yeah. Truly amazing.
Well, Dave has this little program that he's able to make galaxies and stuff. He's faster than the guys at NASA. I think they're going to hire him.
Eventually. I make my pictures are way better than the James Webb telescope. They're really good.
But did you have to pay for that app? Tell us the truth. Did you pay $62 million a day for that app?
No, it was actually $30, but I did a trial and never had to pay for it. So I had to pay for 2 weeks. So
I didn't wonder why you're not doing it anymore. I was wondering why you gave
it up. I didn't have to do that.
We got to put you in charge of NASA. You're so resourceful, Dave.
I agree.
I think we could do a better job. Good, Jaron. I'm trying
better,
to
better job than a cardboard box and sticks landing on the moon. I don't know. It's pretty tough, pretty difficult to do a better job than that.
This woman is closing this door. So there's a shaft going through here with gaskets that's keeping the pressure from going into the vacuum of space, which is impossible. And her turning of her hand isn't quite matching, but look at her. She's not looking over here. She's looking at a monitor over here because she's just turning it to a video. She never even looks over here because she's trying to match the turning and she's off. But to make it worse is, let me ask, what's that?
I got to find this video of her the other day, because the other day I saw her and her hair was everywhere. And now this day it is not.
So here she is. Look at her. Now she's in space. She's cooped up in this thing for months on end, right? They always have crisp shirts. They're never sweaty. They always have clean, like, where's their laundry service? But worse than that, look at her face. Her makeup is done professionally almost, right? Look at how much makeup. How do you put makeup on in space? Where does the makeup come from? Women, look at her hair. This is a good hair day, okay? This is a fantastic hair day. Anyone on earth would be thrilled to have this hair day, okay? But excellent hair day. And they supposedly work out for 2 hours a day and then do a towel, a washcloth shower. Look at her makeup. How do you put makeup on in space? None of this, okay? This alone debunks the space station, right? It debunks it. And then when you debunk the space station, you have to let your ego go. You have to let it, you know, yes, you were fooled your entire life. Yes, Star Wars is not happening in outer space. It could be happening in the outer space, but it's not happening. And once you let that go and start seeing the deception, because the deception's so big, people can't see it. They can't fathom it.
Well, they're going to see it after this. Look at this. So just leave that up there for a second, Dave. I want you to see. Oh, she's good. She's behind you. Leave her there. Yep. And then watch this and you tell me if... you see any problems here? And wait, now I can't find my browser. And browser slow. All right, watch this. You tell me if there's any problems here. What is going on? They're upside down. It's like so obvious what they're doing. You can tell in her face, all of her weight's in her face, in her cheeks, and in her forehead. They're all hanging upside down. That's why her hair is like that. Look at her hair on Dave's screen, and look at her hair over here. I guess, like you said, selective gravity. I think Sean figured it out today. It's maybe God's gravity, because it's just very, it's choosing what it wants to do. It's got a mind of its own. Who knows?
Virtual gravity.
Wow. Pretty insane. So yeah, I mean, it's laughable at this point, but it's just sad because even when I got started in this show, my thought was like, oh, all I need to do is show people this and they're all going to see right through the lies and we're going to call them out and we're going to get somewhere. And then I started yelling about it and, you know, one out of 20 people agreed and the other 19 said you should die or be put in a gas chamber. That's basically how it went. So, you know, it's pretty sad because clearly clearly these guys are lying to us, period.
You know what I think's interesting about the debate, though, and I've said it a million times, is that it is a debate about their math. It's their math. It's their fixed 24,900-mile round globe ball math. It's their math. I didn't come up with it. Jaron didn't. David didn't. But they're tied to it, which I think makes these conversations very interesting and compelling, especially when you look at 2.5, 3, 4 miles of curve that don't exist in the Suez Canal. I don't know. John, it's their math.
Where are the physicists, you know, the engineers, saying that a rocket landing like this with one engine, you know, landing vertically on land is impossible, let alone on a raft? They do all of these landings out on a raft, hundreds of miles offshore, and it's always calm. I don't know if you've ever been out in the ocean. It's rarely calm. There's usually always swells, okay? But this rocket is up in space where you can see the curve of the Earth. There's wind. There's the rotation of the Earth. It's the speed of the rocket. And somehow it falls down using these little milk carton crates, okay, to steer it where it lands on a ship. And usually just before it lands, the camera goes out and then it magically lands. So here it's falling out of space, right? This thing is tens of tons, okay? There's the raft right below it and it's gonna do a bullseye because of these, right? And I've seen ones where they land it where there's 20, 30 mile an hour winds. You could barely stand up in that. And that's what you have to believe is a landing. Let's just watch another one real quick. So here's another one. And they have this is the one that's on the drone ship. And here's the one on the rocket. And you have to believe that landed, right? You ever watch a Harrier jump jet? You know, it has four, things. They're always wobbling, trying to land, right? These things land no problem, upright all the time. You know, at the beginning, they had one that crashed. And that proves... they wouldn't have made a crash if they were faking it. And I'm like, no, that just makes you believe, right? And they always show the curve of the Earth. It comes in. So here it is coming down, just one more. And you have to believe it's landing on this little raft in calm oceans, right? So this was a recent one I'm going to show you right here. And this one was, I found something very interesting, showing you, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt in my mind, that they're using layering. Watch what happens right here when it comes in the frame. All of a sudden, there's a window. There's a box. One of their layers got messed up. And I don't know exactly how they do this, why the box is there, but that's not a regular, real video of the landing. See this box? What's going on there, right? And here's one. And, you know, Sean and I had a little email exchange. I'm like, Sean, are you serious? And he was basically making a joke about something. So here's a rocket landing in the fields in Kansas. Okay. Cool. Pretty good, right? Now, was that NASA or was that me and a lighter and a crappy graphics program?
I'm going to go with the lighter one. But remember, we did our own SpaceX landings before in the past. Those are pretty good. We could do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's really not that far off. My budget was $4. Okay. And NASA gets $60 million a day, every day. For what?
Yeah.
For what?
Imagine if you gave Dave Weiss $60 million one time. It was like, he would have to produce so much stuff for us to feel like it was worth the money. NASA just get it every day.
Right. This is a old 1959 Russian movie, and this is supposedly reality. Now, I'm a windsurfer, kite surfer. There's huge swells out here. This is 20, 30 mile an hour winds, and it's landing perfectly on this little raft, and it stays upright. I don't even think they could put it on a raft and move it through the water without it falling over.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, it's just science. I mean, can't argue with science. We learned that during the COVID lockdowns. There's no reason to argue with science, guys. I think we got a little off track here because I just did some back of the envelope math and the 24,900 mile model works out. I'll try to show my math.
It's like
later,
me, I was against the vaccines, and then I realized that there was zero adverse effects out of all of them. So I figured if it's zero, probably it is safe and effective. So I was wrong.
Yeah,
I was basing it off.
With the whole COVID thing that's happened, I think it's woken up a lot of people. There's so many more people waking up to the why is that?
Because the only people who can ever learn this stuff are people who don't work. Because if you work a job 40 hours a week, you just don't have time to research this stuff. So when they sent everybody home, people were sitting at home. They, for the first time, started looking into some of this stuff. And that's why at the end of all my videos, I say do your own research, because when you do, you're not going to believe the bullshit you've taught anymore, because that's their only protection. That's why they want you working. That's why they want you having a two-income family. That's why they need you to send your kids to soccer practice and this clarinet practice. Because if you do that, it's just impossible for that person to, all they can do. And I was this person. I was a store manager of a drugstore, and I had literally 30 minutes a day to keep up with the world. And it was listening to the news. And then that becomes your belief system. Because if somebody asks you a question of what do you think about this? Or what do you think about Clinton? Or what, your only answer is going to be exactly what the news told you, because that's all that you know.
Well, you
so
have time
you
for
really
it.
Become just, you just become an NPC.
Right.
That's precisely right.
Sean, I've shown you the emergency landings that just don't make any sense. Here's a flight from Chicago to Doha, and it landed in Moscow, right? So something happened here. They went 1,500 miles or so out of their way, right? That would take 3 hours to land, right? But if you look at it, it's right on the flight path. Well, there was one that just happened the other day, a brand new emergency landing, and it was from New York to Auckland, New Zealand, which is right here. Right now, that doesn't look like that much. It landed in Fiji. It landed in Fiji. So that doesn't look like it's really that far off. But right here, the plane is probably equidistant from both, right? And this is where the problem happened. Why did it go to Fiji and not here? If we look at this on a flat Earth map, right? New York, straight long, Fiji is exactly on the line to Auckland, New Zealand. Exactly. How many times does that have to happen, right? Where, you know, it's landing in places that make no sense and it gets there in an impossible amount of time, right? These are, you know, the route I showed you here, these are the great circle routes, which is just a term for the shortest distance on a globe. And these are the Great Circle routes, and they make no sense, the fact that it landed over here. This just happened the other day, adding it to the book 16 Emergency Landings That Prove Flat Earth. It's free online, or you could get it at lulu.com. And it's a great book because watch that, look at that, look at the research that's all been done for you. You might have time to do that in between, you know, your sports and work. And then you'll know that something's wrong with the globe. And Sean, it matters so much, right? If you're lost in space, spinning out of control, you don't have a good foundation. When you have a good foundation, you know, here's a statistic. Jaron, you came, was it you that said it the other day? That all flat earthers are non-vax people.
Oh, no, I said all the ones who are darted, all the darted people. There's, I said 99% of vaccines are darted, meaning that they believe in the DART mission. And 0% of the 0% of the unvaccinated are also darted, which makes sense. That's the correlation. I can see it.
It's
probably really accurate. Yeah, it probably is really accurate.
It's kind of a modern day IQ test.
It is. And that's why I wonder if they're just running that, right? I mean, they really literally might just be, what do they call it? What do you say to the herd? You're kind of, I forgot the name of the saying, but they're separating the wheat from the chaff. I don't know why they would want to get rid of the ones who follow everything they say and keep the ones here who know what's going on. Hopefully that's not a sign of some ultimate goal that they're going to, you know, put into place. But what can we do besides keep doing what we're doing? We're speaking out. We're trying to wake people up. Because I've kind of realized really there's a huge group of people that I almost think now don't deserve the truth. And I don't mean like they deserve to have it hidden from them. But when you've explained it, when you've shown it, when you've offered that branch or that hand and said, here, look at this, look at what I'm showing you. If they choose to double down and call you names and say that it's then, you know, why would we continue on with that conversation? Really, at that point, that person probably doesn't deserve, even if you're thinking spiritually or as far as your salvation, that person doesn't deserve to know the truth.
We're just out here offering the information for people that are been hidden from the information. Besides the censorship, just the indoctrination school system has hidden all of these ideas from us and has embedded in people's brains, has brainwashed them with, of course, the Earth is a globe. Boats go over the horizon because Bill Nye showed us a video of a boat going over a model horizon, right, on a ball. And of course, you know, the Earth is a ball because Aristophanes 2,000 years ago proved it with the sticks and shadows, which proves absolutely nothing, right? So once we show people this, a lot of people, more and more people are getting it. People are like, wait a minute, wait a minute. And here's the thing, Sean, when somebody understands NASA's fake and the Earth is flat, they never switch back. Something's up there. Hey, I found this is a pocket of gravity. He holds something in his hand and he drops it and he catches it. There it goes. You should never have to do that motion in space. Never. Oops.
Almost dropped it.
Gravity is such a tease. I'm telling you, gravity's just got a sense of humor. All right. I do have one final question for you. I want to point out to the audience that there is a True Earth Virtual Summit. I think it's titled True Earth Mount Meru Virtual Summit. Dave can get us the details on that. 50% off if you use coupon code SGT50. The summit is on Friday and Saturday, November 11th and 12th. I'll try to remember to leave a link below. Here's my question. What is Mount Meru? I'm not familiar with that.
Jaron, why don't you run with it?
So Mount Meru is the ancient belief that it's the center mountain of the earth where the lodestone is, right? So it's where all the compass is pointed. So in doing some research recently, I found that in the late 1800s, there were several Buddhist monks who were very upset by this, the Jesuits coming over there and saying that the earth was a spinning ball in space. And they said, no, it's not. Well, I found paperwork talking about this one particular researcher or Buddhist monk who built a like 16 by 12 foot working model of the flat earth with Mount Meru at its center. And it was displayed at the 1877 Japanese Exposition, which is the very first one that they ever did. And I can find articles about it, but they scrapped everything as far as any photographs of it, any mention of it, beyond just people saying that it was there. You can't find anything else about it. It's because they hide these things. And the person who found the information about it said he was in a library and saw books sitting in the corner, went and looked at them. And none of these books were chronicled. And they were all these books by this monk. So you start looking into it and you can find people saying, oh yeah, he was arguing, going around and having, you know, whatever you want to call it, like speaking out about the lie that is the heliocentric system. Now, we don't hear any of this because they try and do their best to hide it. But, you know, somebody found some books. And then once you find some books, then you can find some other connections. And it's just insane. So anyway, Mount Meru is supposedly the mountain at the center of the earth. Now, you know, I think that the Indians believe that, and also the Buddhists, the Japanese, the Chinese. Yeah, they're right about there. And it's funny because we don't really fly over the North Pole. I don't know how close we get, probably a couple hundred miles, but they don't fly directly over it. And I'm not saying that the mountain's there, but it's one of those things that should be explored and should be okay to question and look into. So yeah, the conference is going to be fantastic. We've got, even to end the show on Saturday, we've got some great comedians, Alex Stein, if you've been enjoying some of his crazy antics, and we've got Owen Benjamin following him. So that's going to be a fun way to end it. We've got some music stuff going on with Conspiracy Music Guru is going to be there. And then as far as the speakers, Dave's going to be there with a guy, Caleb. I don't know if you know who he is. He's on TikTok and he's getting like a couple hundred thousand views a video because what they've done, Sean, you know what happens with YouTube, and we're completely shadow banned, so we'll never grow. They have not done that yet to TikTok. So TikTok is still right now, if you post Flat Earth content, it's getting tons of hits, which is just like the YouTube was in 2017, which everybody's looking for that search term. We did the, you can actually get the number of search results. So when you type Flat Earth into TikTok, it comes back at like 2.6 billion searches. I mean, it beats everything. It beats End Times. It beats Rapture. It beats anything, End of Days. It's like everything you can imagine that people would be searching. Flat Earth is destroying that. So it's going to be good to get everybody together. We got David Avocado Wolf, who's going to be doing kind of like a keynote speech at 11:11 Eastern on 11:11. We've got Amanda Vollmer. She's awesome. We've got Sean Hibbler from Hibbler Productions, and allegedly Dave, and Taboo Conspiracy is Ben, his name is, and he's done some of the best.
Amazing. His stuff is absolutely mind-blowing.
Iru Landucci, who does great stuff too. We got Brian from High Impact Flicks is going to be there. Marty Leeds. I'm sure I'm missing people. And so, yeah, if people are interested, it's cheap.
Yeah, it's with the discount code, it's going to be $50. And it's amazing. Now, here's the thing. If you are like just starting to take an interest in what I've been saying and Jaron's been saying, this is a great place to go, because this, all of these presentations are by people that know we don't live on a spinning globe, that have their feet firmly planted on the ground. And you'll see the power of the information coming from them. There's a lot of big people coming out on Flat Earth, like Peggy Hall. She has made it clear that she knows that the Earth is not a spinning globe, and she laughs at it, and she did it in a very funny way. So
she might be there, actually.
We're talking to her. We should have a confirmation, but there's a good chance that she'll be one of the speakers at it. So it's a great 2-day event, and everybody should go. SGT50. And where do they go, Jaron? Where's the link?
The site is just, it's the True Earth. So TEMMS.live. So it's TEMMS, which is the True Earth Mount Meru Summit .live. And all right, tickets are on sale now.
All right. I'll try to remember to leave a link below to that. What was I just going to ask?
And if you want to support Sean, that's a great way to do it, because everybody who uses this coupon code, he gets a kickback for it. So
yeah. Well, thanks. All right. So it's truly virtual, though, or are all of those people getting together somewhere in one spot and then
no, it'll be virtual for the audience. Online. Okay. Yeah. All online.
Well, how do you manage that?
Oh, you have Zoom rooms, and we're going to have like a VIP group that's actually in the Zoom room, and then everybody else will just be watching on a separate link.
Okay. All right. Very good. Anything else, Dave?
You can find all my stuff, all my channels, my TikTok, my YouTubes, my everything, my app at flatearthdave.com. And there'll be a link also there. If you forget the initials of the summit, just click it on flatearthdave.com. It'll bring you right to it.
Sweet.
All right. And Jaronism, how do people find you? You're still on YouTube. Congrats.
Still on YouTube. Yeah. Well, I've had to do some dancing with that. And now I'm on Rockfin. So what I do is I do like the first half of my shows on YouTube, and I kind of mind my P's and Q's. And then do most of my talking and stuff on Rockfin, because it just got to the point where you can't play that game anymore. And, you know, I got a strike, Sean, for reading their changes in their COVID policy. And I just did it as straight up as possible because I knew that's kind of tempting it. But I just seriously read because they made changes in their COVID policy. So I compared the two and said, if something we weren't allowed to say before, which was like masks cause you to get sick, but it's now no longer in the new rules. So I was just pointing out, that's funny that we weren't allowed to say that masks could get you sick before. And now, since it's not in the new rules, I guess we can. And they gave me a strike for that. And then I argued with them. I wrote back and told them I was going to contact Vice News and all this stuff. And I was just piping off. I didn't think there's any chance they would ever, they've never done anything like that. And they took it away. They took the strike away and said, oh, sorry, never mind. We made a mistake. Oh. Damn right you did.
Good on you. Yeah. Good on
Jarenism is at the YouTube channel and Jarenism.com. And yeah, Rock, I'm trying to do a little TikTok. I'm not as good as Dave, though.
Well, very good. I tried to put a few things up on TikTok and they took my second one down.
They took a lot of ours down too. At least I don't give you like strikes or something. It just kind of goes away.
Yeah. All righty.
What, bowling? What did they take it down for?
Oh, I have no idea. Just because it was too truthy. It was about vaccines. It was about vaccines killing people.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Vaccines don't kill anybody. It's safe and effective.
It is. It's delicious and nutritious. And Albert Bourla is not becoming a multimillionaire on the back of this bioweapon. I assure you, he's an honest businessman who cares about you.
Probably lost some money in the whole thing.
All right, guys, for those listening, look, I like to say I am a globe, as we're told, skeptic. And if you have a problem with this conversation, just lighten up. We're just making fun of their math. It's their math. Help us make fun of it. It's really funny if you think about it, because their math just doesn't add up. Does not stand up to scrutiny. My guests have been David Weiss, Flat Earth app. You can get that where, David?
FlatEarthDave.com. Everything is for Android and Apple. It's $3. And if you want to subscribe so you can contact other Flat Earthers, that's $11 a year. I say it's one margarita a year. And there are Flat Earthers everywhere. We just hit 76,000 that are on the Friend Finder. And it's an amazing tool. People are using it as a dating app, as a friend, true friend finder, because everybody on here, every dot on here is a non-vaccinated, 99% of them, awake, aware person, which is a very sexy person.
Very much. I was just going to say that one thing that people need to recognize when they get upset, if they're upset at this conversation, is pay attention to the amount of strawman arguments one side places against the other. When we argue against the globe, we never bring up things that the globe doesn't believe. We only go after the things that they legitimately believe, which is how a debate should go. When they talk about us, the reason most people don't like Flat Earth is because they think of a disc flying in space, or they think of the disc going upwards at 9.8 meters per second squared. Every argument against the Flat Earth is things that we don't believe. So when they put the picture of the little black bar in front of the moon that's flat, and they say, oh, a nice eclipse, flat earth. I mean, things like that. That's their only tactic, is jokes and straw men. And that's the lowest form of debate that there is. It's the worst. You're building a pretend argument and then attacking it to make yourself look good. The more they do that, the more I know I'm in the right camp.
All right. And there's all the nutty people on Dave's app. If you guys want to meet some nutty people who believe that the earth is a little different than what they tell us it is, they're all right there. You can go get that app and make some nutty friends.
One last thing, anybody that's in the North Carolina, South Carolina area, October 21 and 22 and 23, we're having Flattoberfest, and that could be found at flatearthdave.com. Scroll down. It's a big, big button. You can't miss it. It's a 3-day music, picnicking, presentation festival, and you'll meet people in the flesh that know the earth is not a spinning ball.
All right. Jarenism. That's the YouTube channel, right? Jarenism?
Yep. You got it.
All right. I'll try to remember to leave a link below. Maybe you can pick up an extra subscriber or two, since I know they're messing with your channel. The algorithms do not favor the truth on YouTube or on Google. Man, Google's just totally, totally, totally burning all the books. Have you guys noticed that? I mean, there's zero search results that come up when using Google. Bing works way better, believe it or not, guys. All right, friends, thanks so much for tuning in. A special thanks to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv. Thanks for keeping us in the fight. And for real news every single day, guys, visit us directly for free at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda. God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
And what happened when all of this came to light? The FBI stepped in. and cross-examined every one of the children and told them if they did not recant their testimony, they would be liable to as much as 530 years in prison for perjury.